This is the WOKV Spotlight on 104.5 WOKV.
There has been a significant decline in the indicators of citizenship, from voting to volunteering to working with civic groups to accomplish important community goals.
Political legend in Florida has passed on. Former Florida Senator, Governor, House Member Bob Graham died at the age of 87. His death announced on X by his daughter, Gwen. Graham served three terms in the Senate, U.S. Senate from 1987 to 2005, two terms as Florida's governor from 1979 to 1987. Diving deeper into his political legacy with WOKV political analyst Rick Mullaney with the JU Public Policy Institute. This was a lion in Florida politics.
He really is. It's hard to put in words truly what a good man Bob Graham was. And by the way, something in short supply, a great statesman and a truly great Floridian. A throwback really to a kind of different era, an era of compromise, an era of conducting yourself like a gentleman, and an era in which Bob Graham in particular, Senator Graham, was committed to public service, which is certainly part of his legacy through the Bob Graham Center at the University of Florida. A great loss for the state of Florida, but a great role model for all of the state and the country.
He was a registered Democrat throughout his political career. How did the Democratic Party, or how did he lead the Democratic Party in Florida then? And maybe how has that evolved and changed since he left office?
Well, it's changed a great deal. He worked across the aisle when Connie Mack was the Republican senator, and he was in the United States Senate for 18 years. He worked with the Republican senator from Florida. He worked with Republicans in Congress. That was his nature. And of course, since then, since he left public life, public office in 2005, you've seen that growing partisan divide. By the way, as a note, he was also a friend of the Public Policy Institute at Jacksonville University. We were very pleased to host him as a keynote speaker, to have him on both television and radio. And it's his suggestion. He suggested that Jacksonville University Public Policy Institute form a formal memorandum of understanding and collaboration with the University of Florida, the Graham Center for Public Service, which we did several years ago. And that collaborative relationship is still in place. And it's all about public service, and it's all about developing future leaders to serve the state and the country. He leaves quite a legacy.
Yeah, you know, the public service part of it I thought was most interesting reading back through his legacy. It's maybe an underreported thing, or maybe just generationally, a whole generation has gone by since he served. But, you know, what he did, kind of the dirty jobs part of his service from a House member leading to his run for governor, where he wanted to really connect with his constituents. Did that stick back in the day?
Well, it did. And as you know, I'm sure you've been talking about it, his work days became sort of legendary. That sort of stick in his style and his approach and his connection with people, where he would actually go and perform a work day for 8 hours doing the task of whether it could be garbage collection or it could be teaching a civics class. He did over 400 of them. Hmm. But he had a style that was very collaborative, very non-confrontational, although he was a strong leader. So during his two terms as Florida governor, he left with tremendous popularity in the state, one of Florida's most popular politicians.
Obviously, things have changed a lot politically since then, including in his role in the U.S. Senate, the post-9/11 investigation, which post-9/11 led to a lot of change, but also a lot of changes in politics, partisan politics. How do you reflect on that part of his legacy and of his political career?
Well, he was on the Senate Select Committee, and he was part of the group that did an investigation into all of that. And by the way, he was also an opponent of the Iraq War back then. And he was forceful in telling at the time why he thought that was a mistake. And as you may know, back in that time, too, the post-9/11, he actually ran for president in 2004. He later withdrew his candidacy. And he was on the short list for vice president, for President Clinton, and for a number of years was considered as a vice presidential candidate. Certainly a great figure in the Florida legislature and a great figure in the state of Florida, but also a great figure on the national stage. And he did deal with a lot of those foreign policy issues as part of that committee.
He never lost an election. Is that true? Is there any other things about Bob Graham's legacy that are underreported or surprise even the layperson?
Well, you know, I don't think it's underreported that he went to University of Florida for undergrad, but immediately after graduating from Harvard Law School, he ran for the Florida legislature. And he served in the Florida House, of course, then served in the Florida Senate, and then won that election to become Florida governor, right? Approaching 40 years in public office by the time he left public office, he leaves a remarkable legacy of statesmanship and public service.
Yeah, certainly does. Bob Graham passing at the age of 87. We are working to find out what sort of a state recognition may ultimately happen in Tallahassee with Governor DeSantis and others expected to make pronouncements here over the coming days, I would imagine. Rick, before we let you go, as you've been listening in or monitoring the first few days of former President Trump's hush money trial, finding a jury is proving to not be all that easy, although they have the first seven so far taking a break today. Big impressions you have so far?
Well, it's a real challenge to do it. I think it's a challenge for both sides, both the defense side and the prosecution, but particularly for Donald Trump. We're in Duval County. In New York, and in New York City, it's a very blue state and a very blue city. 87% of the people there voted for Joe Biden. And people in New York have very strong feelings about Donald Trump. For him to find a fair and impartial juror is going to be a bit of a challenge in New York. But the prosecution also has its challenges. Remember this, Rich. They have 12 jurors, and it has to be a unanimous verdict. And therefore, if they get a conservative, a person with strong feelings, who is opposed to this prosecution, that one person can be enough to hang up the jury. So this is a very challenging jury selection. The court, of course, wants a fair and impartial jury. The Trump is trying to find one that may lean their way, the prosecution one that's open to the case they're going to be presenting. But it, like I said, challenging, but it may go a little quicker than people think. Should really have one, certainly, but no later than the end of next week.
All right, WOKV political analyst Rick Mullaney, who directs the Public Policy Institute at Jacksonville University. Appreciate it as we reflect back on the life and political legacy of former senator, former governor, and Representative Bob Graham.